Okay. My name is not Don. There's no easy way into this. You know, they say, have you ever had one of those things where you had a Band-Aid on your arm with all the hair, and it's a big Band-Aid? Do you want it torn off easy or all at once? Okay, bad news. Don has resigned. Okay, now some of you knew that already. And so I'm here sort of help us walk through that. Now, there's some ground rules with this. Okay? I'll tell you right now, no group of people sought to kick him out. There are reasons why it took place, and because of the severance agreement, we can't talk about it. Okay? It's got to frustrate the heck out of you. Because I know you're going to say, but what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And did this happen? And did this happen? And I can't tell you. Okay? Now, those of you who don't know me, I'm the former pastor of the church. I was here 34 years, 2 years ago. Okay? So, and I was asked to come in and sort of walk you through this and sort of help you deal with the emotional baggage that comes out with this. And I think it's really important that as we talk about it, we recognize that we are the church, okay? And what Don said we could tell the church is that he's looking at new opportunities. I mean, that's what he asked us to tell you. I do know that he's contacted some of you, let you know ahead of time. That's fine. That's totally up to him. We are glad that Don was a part of us. Okay? One of the things that they teach, and we worked really hard for this not to happen, is that the person that follows a long-term pastor is normally very short-term. It's very, very typical. Okay? And we tried our best at that. It did not work. And I really apologize for that. I wish we could have done it better. I can tell you it's not about any moral issue. I know it's not about a group of people. It's just sometimes things happen that are beyond our control. But I'm here to tell you today they're not beyond God's control. Okay? So I talk about... Now, when I became a pastor... I had to ask my wife, how long has it been? I've been retired 2 years plus 34. That's 36 years ago. I am not that old. But when I came as pastor, the reason I came was because the previous pastor was found in Las Vegas with the music director's wife. Yay, Baptist! And so the thing is, one group of people sought to protect this other group of people and not tell them exactly what happened. So this guy, they let the guy resign. But this half of the church was mad at this half of the church because this half of the church thought this half of the church was trying to kick him out. And so when I got here, can I just tell you it was a mess? Okay? The only good thing about the whole thing is they were not mad at me. I was so excited. Give them a year. Then they got mad at me. Okay. I want for us to be as transparent with you as we possibly can be, recognizing there's some things that we cannot tell you. I can tell you that church board is meeting today after worship and walking through some things, organizing leadership and what that's going to look like. I can tell you right now, you're not going to probably see any changes at all in what's going on in church for the next couple of months, just because we just need to take care of one another and move on. The neat thing about it is that you are neat people, okay? You're good people, and the neat thing is we like each other. Have you ever been a part of a church that doesn't like each other? Yeah. Oh, I could tell you stories. This is not my notes. This is so fun. I was on summer revival teams when I was at Cal Baptist, long, long time ago. Okay, you can tell I'm really getting old because these stories just pop up. But I was at Cal Baptist getting my original degree. And so I spent the summer doing summer revival teams, going to different churches in the Central Valley and doing we did two a week. Just really, really busy. But anyway, we were in San Leandro. Okay? I've never been in San Leandro. And we were in this old, old church. I mean, you know the picture of the white church and the steeple? And, like, you know, just it, you look at this building, you're going to say, that's a church. Well, I got in there, and they had this side, and they had this side. And I the only reason I play, I was the music director of the church. Is that not hilarious? I can't play. I can't sing. The only reason I got the job is I could play the guitar. And so I like to break things up. And so we're singing songs. And I said, okay, so I want this side to change sides with this side, and this side change sides with this side. And I want you to shake hands as you're going across. Well, after the service, somebody told me, said, Jack, did you realize this is a split church? This side doesn't like that side? And I went, oh, I just insert mouth, foot. Anyway, so that kind of thing happens with me often. We don't want things like that to happen here. We want to just glorify God and to build him up. And so there's two things that I want to deal with you today, two areas that I think that we need to deal with in helping us understand what's going to happen with the church now. So these two areas are this. How are we going to deal with the emotional baggage? Because that's going to be there. Okay? Can't take it away. Can't deal with that. I mean, we can walk you through it. Walk us through it. But we have to deal with that. And the second one is, what does God want us to do next? So that's what we're going. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in this very brief time that I have together, I pray that you guide us, that you give us wisdom, that you help us be your church in ways that glorify you. We love you, Father. You're awesome. You're amazing. Help your church right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So number one, what we're going to deal with is we got to deal with the emotional baggage. Now, what do I mean by that? When we get afraid, we demonstrate anger. Okay? I have a doctorate in marriage family therapy. I know what I'm talking about. When people, the more afraid somebody is, what they display is anger. Now, you can have another emotion in there that the same thing happens. And the reason for that is that anger is not a primary emotion. Are you aware? That there's always an emotion underneath of it that's primary, but because we can't handle this emotion, we're really comfortable with anger. The only time that anger is the primary emotion is injustice. When you see injustice, you're supposed to get angry, so you do something about it. So as we deal with this, you may be feeling what you would consider to be anger. Why did this have to happen? Okay, why didn't somebody stop this? Why wasn't somebody else doing something? Who was the one that was responsible for this? And you're getting hyped up like this, you know, and close to hyperventilating. I'm going to say, cool it. Hold on. What's really happening is you're afraid. You're afraid of the future. You're afraid of what that's going to look like. You might be afraid for Pastor Don and Liz, and I could understand that. That'd be a good thing. But dealing with the emotional baggage that comes from this sometimes can be difficult for us to deal with. And look at Mark 4. Let me give you an example of this. So this is a story of Jesus in the boat with the disciples in the big storm. Remember that story? So here it is. But soon a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water, and Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. I like the way Jesus handles boats. But anyway, the disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown?" What? Anger. Anger. Why? They're afraid. Jesus woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to them, the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped, and there's a great calm. And Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? I want you to learn from this. Don't get so caught up in your personal storm that you forget who's in the boat with you. Okay? As we walk through this, all right, church is still going to be church. We're going to still be doing the same kinds of stuff. We're going to be doing Jesus stuff. We're going to be teaching the Bible. We're going to do disciples. I mean, we're doing all this. But if you're struggling, you got reason. But don't forget who's in your boat with you. We are not alone. So we have to be careful of that. Secondly, God is more concerned about developing your character than he is removing the storms of life. Now, I don't like this. Can I just be honest? I'm going to share a verse of scripture with you that I wish God would take out of the Bible. All right? Because I don't like this, but I've had to live it. Therefore, Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. This is such a neat part. We've been justified by faith. God loved you. Not because of you're so neat, but because God sent his son Jesus to die for you. We have peace with God. Because we've been justified by faith, because we're clean before God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him also, we've attained access. Access by faith into this grace in which we stand. I mean, that's the very, very nature of the church, the gift that God has given us. Up until this point, I still love it. Oh, no, I like this next part too. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Yay! Can we just stop there? Wouldn't it just be neat just to stop there? Hey, God, you are just so awesome. Look at all the stuff you have done with me. And then he wrote this. But, we rejoice in our sufferings. I don't know about that. Most people who are suffering are whiners. Okay? You know, why, God? What's up? But we rejoice in our sufferings. Now, listen to what God says about this. Knowing, and we can rejoice. Here's the point. We can rejoice knowing suffering produces what? Endurance. Endurance produces what? Character produces what? You can't live a life full of hope being an immature believer. And you got to go through stuff that you don't want to go through so you can become the person that God wants you to become. Now, that's neat, and that's why I'm glad it's there. But part of me that hates pain, not glad that it's there. Are you guys sort of in that tension, too, with the scripture? God, thank you for this, but... And so we have to understand that what God's plan, God's purpose, if you're going to say, God, why did you allow this to happen? We'll deal with that in a second. It comes down to it. Hey, what this is really about is it's a part of life. And it's this part of life that you get to choose whether or not you're going to grow in Jesus or not. And that is a choice, my friend. That's a choice. You're going to grow and praise and live in worship and desire for Christ, or you're not. That's totally up to you. Okay? Now, you know how God's voting. This depends on whether or not we're going to participate with God. So remember several weeks ago, we were talking about when problems happen, that asking God why was the wrong question. Remember that? And I reminded you there are at least two right questions really to ask when you're going through struggles. First of all, is what? What do you want me to do, God, in the midst of what we're going through? How am I personally going to respond for one pastor moving out and now having to go through the whole process of finding someone new? God, how do you want me to respond in the midst of this? What kind of person do you want me to be? Don't you go blaming somebody else. I want you to look at you. And God, how are you going to use me? And what's going to happen here? Secondly is who? Who? Who do you want me to be as we walk through the storm? Look at my character, God. What areas of me have to be developed? What kinds of sins do I need to confess? What kind of things do I need to pick up and do? We're going to work more on that as we go on. But that's really the perspective, instead of fear, that God wants to work, because God's more interested in our character than in the nature of the storm, because God can stand up and still storms. But only you can participate in changing your character, because God's just not going to zap you different. You have to choose to want to be different because of your love and desire for Christ. Third thing I want to teach you. Man, God's got this. God's got this. Now, I didn't put the verse in here, and I said, how in the world did I miss that? Well, I wrote this sermon really quick, by the way, because that's when I found out I was preaching. But Proverbs 3:5-6 says, Trust, say it with me, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Yo! Okay, so the thing is, I say, well, God, I'm trusting you. Then stop whining. God, I'm trusting you. Then stop living in fear. Now, by the way, we can't stop you from being afraid in any area. By the way, Jenny, are you really going to teach a class on anxiety?
Yes.
Yeah. When somebody's really anxious, you come up to them and say, stop it. No. Yeah, because it doesn't work. Okay, I have found out that if I try that with my wife, she hits me. Do you know who I'm married to? And so, I want to teach you the line, God's got this, because it's just so much about faith. I've told the story before, but you just get it again. Gene and I were planning for our retirement. I retired 2 years ago. The year before that, Gene retired. So we were learning how to adjust our finances and live on a specific income, knowing how spoiled of a child that I am. But let's move past that. So we were going to downsize. So we were going to sell our house, and we were going to sell the boat that I had at the time. And so we made up our mind, you know, that sounds like a really good thing. So we put the boat up for sale first, and the boat sold in a week. And I was looking for the entire season, man, of enjoying that boat before that happened. But anyway, sold in a week. We put up the house for sale right after that. Guess what?
Sold in a week.
Sold in a week. And the thing is, did you know you have to have another place to go live? Now, if you remember, that was during that time the market was real. I mean, prices for homes were really crazy. So the good news is we got a lot of money for our house. The bad news was every other house was a lot of money. And we wanted to go straight across because we want to live without debt, and which we do. And so we just said to ourselves, God's got this. Our faith affirmation, God's got this. By the way, those faith affirmations are really great when things are going good. God's got this. God sold the boat, God's got this. God sold the house, God's got this. We got to find another house. God, what are you going to do? And so we start doing the house thing. You know, we're looking for houses. We're going to this place or this place or this place. We're not really impressed. We finally found a house that was, I mean, my wife walked in and she does this. I mean, this is the one. I'm going, yes, dear. Why? God's got this. I mean, that's just where I'm at. And the thing is, we made the offer, and lo and behold, we didn't get it. Somebody else got it, offered more money. And then we're mad at ourselves because we should have offered more money, but we want to stay within our budget, and we had to say, but God's got this. So we start looking for other houses because escrow's closing on the other house. Okay, so we have this time frame we have to get into. So every day we're saying to ourselves, hey, God's got this. God's got this. And so we're looking at houses. We're not finding anything we like. We're realizing we're going to probably have to find a more expensive house. We're not really wanting to do that, but we're saying, hey, but God's got this. He's going to walk us through this. He's going to show us exactly what needs to happen. And then we get this phone call from a realtor that the house she loves, the offer fell through. Do you want this house? God's got this. And you want to know the punchline of all this? You know why we got the house? Because there was a smell in the house, okay? And the previous owner had passed away in the house. So the people thought that smell permeated everything. And I'm going, oh, no, it didn't. They said, but we want you to show up first and verify you're really going to, you know, because they were really concerned. There's a smell. So I walked in, I walked to the sink, and I smell. I said, there's a smell. The lines haven't been used, so our smell's coming back up. Call a plumber, have him just check it out. It was fine, a little Drano, solved everything. We got the house, and get this, we got the house cheaper than our original offer. Listen to me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, God's got this. Now say it with me. God's got this. Yes, our pastor moved on. God's got this. He's got it for their lives and what they're going to be doing. Okay? God's got that for our lives and what we're going to be doing. But you see, the faith stance that we're going to take is that God's got this. Do I have to like everything that happens in my life?
No.
Good thing. God's got this. My thing turned off. Okay, where am I in this? I did that. Okay, and I did that. So what's next? What's going to happen in the life of the church now? The simple thing is that we're going to focus on being the church that seeks to honor God and persistently pursues Him. That is never, ever going to change for us. For us, it's always about, God, how can I draw closer to you? What do I need to be doing to change my life? What do I need to be doing to building my character? What do I need to be doing to becoming that man, becoming that woman of God that you desire for me to have? So that's where our focus is going to be. You see, if you're going to ask me, hey, Jack, what's next in the life of the church? You grow in Christ. Yeah, but beyond that. No, there is no beyond that. You must grow in Christ. You've got to become. But what if I think I'm already there? Then you are greatly deceived. Because I promise you, just by asking that question, you ain't there yet. And the nice thing is, if you are married, you can always ask your partner, am I there yet? They will gladly tell you the truth. Okay, let's move on. Secondly, and this is the important thing, we're going to use the design of leadership here is that we're going to use the gifts that God has given us to build His church. Now, go to Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Paul writes, now these are the gifts that Christ gave the church. There are spiritual gifts that God has given you to use in the church to help build the church, but now see what God has given to the church to build the church. And here it is, very simple. Christ gave to the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, and their responsibility is to equip God's people to do what?
His work.
Yeah, not sit on your rear ends. God's people to do His work and to build up, to strengthen the church, the body of Christ. So what we're going to do is we're going to back up a minute. Now, God's given you gifts. Now, that begins with our two elders, okay? Marlon and Gary, okay? We got leadership going on here, guys, all right? You've got your church staff. They're here. Things are just going to keep on moving on. There's some things that we're concerned about that we're going to say, how are we going to cover this and this? And that's what we're working on. And that's really where the board comes in. They're meeting today right after we're done with this service here so they can walk through some things that, hey, we need to pay attention to this and this and this. And you know, what are the first steps that we're going to do to do that? And the good news is I am not going to be in that meeting. I'll let them do that work. Anyway, and our teachers, we have people that are teaching. I mean, Justino doing the Spanish ministry. I'm really excited about that. Gina, she does her class. Debbie, she does Wednesday night. We got Jenny's class coming up. We've got what's happening with our students. We've got what's happening with Sean and Sandy at their house. We've got what Sandy's doing with kids right now. Folks, we've got it covered. And we're going to rely on these gifts to get it done. Now, something else going on. About 5 years before I retired, not only was I getting ready for my retirement, I was working to get the church ready for me not being here anymore. So we put in protections, both legal and physical, in place to protect the church if something like this would ever happen. Oh, you got to be a pastor to appreciate this. I'm sorry, you really can't. So we have what's called bylaws. Whoever cares about bylaws of a church? Well, the thing is, the original bylaws that I walked into were 2 pages. Totally illegal. Did not meet California requirements. So I said, see, at the time, by the time that most of you who know me now, but knew me then, I could probably do whatever I wanted to do. There was no authority over me other than the church vote. But the church didn't want to meet. So we were only meeting once a year. Okay? No board. No elders. Okay? You guys liked me, I liked you, so we just did things. And I'm going, you know, the next guy coming in can't live that way. That's way too much authority. That's way too much privilege. Okay? I had to learn. I am not safe with that much authority. All right? So I had to put things in place. And so we rewrote the bylaws that said, hey, if this happens, then this is the restriction on it. If you have this need, then this is the way that you deal with it. And so we got very specific. And actually, we did a pretty good job. We found out there's some things that need to be changed because Jack Bracey's not perfect, but it got it done. And so you're going to be seeing some of that later on. The neat thing is, what that means is there are guidelines that says, hey, you can do this, but you can't do this. And they're in place. So you don't have to worry about somebody doing something crazy. Well, there are people who will do things crazy. We can't stop them, but you don't have to worry about it because it's not going to affect us as we go through this. But I want you to understand, we have more spiritual resources in this church than most churches our size. Okay, I'm amazed at some of the maturity levels that are going on and people willing to use their spiritual gifts within the church. Secondly, and I've already talked about this, we like each other. Okay, oh, I've been around churches that don't like each other. And oh, I already told you that story, so I'm moving on. We have the Word of God. Okay, we have the Word of God. That's going to light our path. Remember, I told you, if you want to know the will of God, you have to know the Word of God. And to know, I said that wrong. To know the will of God, you got to know the ways of God. Blew my own line. You got to know the ways of God. But to know the ways of God, you have to know the Word of God. And as we study the Word and we live in the Word, we're going to say, hey, well, God says live this way, do these kinds of things. And you're either going to say yes or you're going to say no. If you say no, please let me know. I'm going to step out of the way. Because God can deal with that. We also have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. God has not left us as orphans. Okay? God's got a plan. This did not take God by surprise. Why? God is. Thirdly, we need to step up, not step back. Okay, now there are some people who say, well, okay, I'm just going to take a wait and see kind of, you know, just see what happens. If it works out all right, I'll hang out. And I'm saying, buddy, if that's you, would you just please keep on going? You can't fire me for saying that. I'm not hired. We don't need that. We need people to step up and say, hey, Jack, what needs to be done? Let's get it done. Now, I know most of you, and this is your heart, so that's a good thing. But seriously, you can't say, well, Marlon and Gary's got this, or the staff's got this. You see something that needs to be done, get it done. Then go tell them what you did, and they'll tell you whether or not you did right or wrong. And then you can say, Jack sent me. But anyway, I do that in counseling when I'm working with people. I say, I want you to go do this, and if they get mad at you, you just blame it on me, tell them I gave it to you as homework. But anyway, you just move on. Now, here's the thing. This is not a time for that kind of attitude. Why? There are people who need Jesus, and they need us to go tell them about Jesus. That hasn't stopped. Are you with me on that? That hasn't stopped. Discipleship needs to continue within the church. We got to be growing our young babies in Christ. Ministry needs to continue as we're healing, we're being with people, we're walking with people through life. Celebrate Recovery needs to continue. Okay? It needs to continue. We know this. I give you that one because I'm going to give you this one. Finances need to continue. I ain't hear as many amens on that one. You'll probably hear more from me about that. Anyway, child care needs to continue. All right? Are you getting the idea?
Yes.
Nothing has stopped. Life is going on. Get in, get involved. Somebody comes up and say, hey, we need your help. Don't say, well, you know, I'm just really busy. You do that, man. I can have a talking with you and nobody can fire me. I love this kind of idea. But seriously, the church needs to continue to be the arms of Jesus in a fallen world. That's what we're going to do. So today begins a new chapter in the life of New Hope Community Church. And I just want to know, will you believe with me that God's got this?
Yes.
I mean, that's... Now, If other things are just bigger than you and you've got to deal with this issue or that issue, then there's Marlon, there's Gary, go talk with them. They'll walk you through it. You're going to want to know information. We're not going to give it to you. Not because we don't love you, not because we don't care. We can't. Okay? We're not going to talk bad about Don. We were not going to allow anybody to talk bad about Don. Okay? Just the way it is. So, we're going to wrap up. Our last song. Let's go ahead and get ready for that guy. What I want to do right now is just invite you to pray if you want to pray. I'm not going to force you. You can pray there in your seat, or you can come up here and kneel. That's totally cool with me. But I think we need to be praying for our church. Okay? If you're guesting with us today, hey, we're glad you're here. Man, you did not know what you were walking in on. I am so glad you're here. Please come back. We really are nice people. But if you want to come pray with us, come pray with us. We're going to sing, and we were going to take the offering at the same time, huh? We'll do that after we're done praying. We'll just do another. Okay, so they're going to sing. You want to come pray. You want to pray where you're at. Hold somebody's hand, be out there. But let's just talk with God about what God's going to do in our church. Will you do that with me?
Amen.
Stand or come, whatever.